Welcome to Science TLDR, the place for scientists and experts to get the quick story on important new research.
Glad to be here.
Today, we're diving into a paper from Nature. It's titled, TIM3 Regulates Microglial Homeostasis and Enhances Amyloid Phagocytosis to Limit Alzheimer's Disease Pathology. Quite a mouthful.
It is, but it really gets to the heart of it. We're talking Alzheimer's disease, AD, and specifically the role of microglia.
Right, the brain's own immune cells. We know from all those GWAS studies, the genome-wide association studies, that a lot of the genetic risk for late-onset AD points straight at microglia, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's shifted the focus significantly. These cells aren't just reacting, they seem central to the process.
And we see them clustering around those amyloid beta plaques, the AA plaques. They change, right, into this, what is it, DAM or MGND phenotype?
Yeah, disease-associated microglia or neurodegenerative microglial phenotype. Same idea, basically. They switch on genes that look like they should be helpful things for eating up the plaques, phagocytosis.
Like TREM2, that's a classic marker.
Exactly. But here's the catch. Even though they activate and express these beneficial-seeming genes, they don't actually, stop the disease from progressing. Something's not quite right there.
Okay, so that's where this paper brings in TIM3. T-cell immunoglobulin and mucin domain containing -3. I know TIM3 mostly from T-cells and cancer immunity.
Right. It's a well-known immune checkpoint there. It can inhibit dendritic cells, regulate anti-tumor responses. Its role in peripheral immunity is pretty established.
But in microglia, less so.
Much less so. That's what makes this Nature paper interesting. They specifically asked, what is TIM3 doing in microglia, both in a healthy brain state homeostasis and in an Alzheimer's mouse model?
And what's the spoiler? The main takeaway.
The big finding is that TIM3 seems to play a detrimental role in the AD context within microglia. They found that getting rid of TIM3 specifically in the microglia of an AD mouse model, well, it reduced the amount of alt plaques.
Reduced plaques, wow. And cognition.
Improved cognitive function too, according to their tests. So this basically flips the script a bit. TIM3, usually seen as inhibitory, might actually be hindering the microglia's ability to fight AD pathology.
Which makes it a potential therapeutic target, obviously.
Exactly, that's the implication. Okay, so should we dig into how they got there, the experiments?
Yeah, let's do it. Where do they start? They looked at what controls TIM3 expression in microglia first, right?
They did. And they focused on TGF transforming growth factor, beta.
Ah, TGF-a. Crucial for keeping microglia in their normal homeostatic state. Surveillance, pruning synapses, that sort of thing.
Precisely. And their experiments showed that if you stimulate primary microglia cells taken straight from the brain with TGF-E, the expression of the HAVCR2 gene, which codes for TIM3, goes up.
Okay, so TGF-E uses TIM3. What about other cytokines, like IL-27? That one induces TIM3 in T cells.
Good point. But interestingly, no. IL-27, MCSF, GM-CSF, none of those induced HAVCR2 in their microglial cultures. Only TGF did.
Huh. So that suggests the rules for turning on TIM3 might be different in brain immune cells compared to peripheral ones. A distinct mechanism.
It seems that way. And they backed this up by looking at older published data, too. They reanalyzed it and found that when TGF-U signaling is lost in microglia, HAVCR2 expression goes down. It fits together.
Okay, so TGF-E drives TIM3. Now, you mentioned earlier that the MGND phenotype, the disease-associated one, is sometimes linked to losing TGF signaling. How does TIM3 fit into that picture?
That's the next key part. They noticed that during brain development, as microglia mature, the expression of HAVCR2 kind of ramps up alongside genes involved in the TGF pathway. It hinted they might work together.
Cooperating somehow. So how did they test that functional link?
They compared microglia where they knocked out HAVCR2, the TIM3 gene, that's the EKO with microglia, where they knocked out the TGF receptor 2 gene, TGFBR2. So comparing cells lacking TIM3 versus cells that can't respond to TGF.
What did the gene expression profiles look like? Similar changes?
Quite a bit of overlap, actually. They found a significant number of genes went up in both knockout types. And intriguingly, these included many of those MGND signature genes, AXL, LY9, CLEC7. The p-values were tiny, like less than 10 to the minus 5. Very significant.
G's going down.
Similar story. Genes linked to the normal homeostatic state, like Siglec and P2RY12, were downregulated in both knockouts. Again, significant overlap.
So losing TIM3 looks transcriptionally somewhat similar to losing the TGF receptor.
To a degree, yes. The overall correlation wasn't perfect. Spearman's row was about 0.2, suggesting each knockout has unique effects too. But the shared changes strongly imply TIM3 and TGF signaling are functionally intertwined in microglia. Losing either pushes microglia away from homeostasis towards this reactive state.
Okay, intertwined.
Yeah.
But how? Physically, did they look for direct interactions?
They did. Using co-immunoprecipitation mass spectrometry, co-IPMS, basically pull down TIM3 and see what other proteins come along for the ride.
Any interesting partners?
Yes. SMAD2.
SMAD2. Okay, that's a core component right downstream of the TGF receptors. TGF binds, receptors, phosphorylate SMA2 and SMAD3, they go to the nucleus standard pathway.
Exactly. So finding SMAD2 physically associating with TIM3 was a big clue. They confirmed it with co-IP Western blots too, showed TIM3, SMA2, and the TGFBR2 can all be found in the same complex.
A specific complex. Did TIM3 bind other SM or phosphorylated SMA2?
That's the interesting part. No, it bound SMA2, but not phosphorylated SMA2, PSMA2. And it didn't bind SMA3, PSMA3, SMAD4, or other control proteins, just SMA2 and TGFBR2. Pretty specific interaction.
So how does the binding work? Which part of TIM3 is involved?
They mapped it using mutant versions of TIM3. Turns out the C-terminal tail, the part inside the cell, is essential. Chop that off, and the binding to SMAD2 and TGFBR2 is gone.
What about those tyrosine residues in the tail, the ones that get phosphorylated in T cells? Y256, Y263.
They mutated those two. But surprisingly, changing those tyrosines or nearby serines didn't disrupt the binding to SMA2 or TGFBR2 in microglia, and it didn't affect SMA2 phosphorylation.
Huh. So another difference from T cells. In T cells, those phosphorylated tyrosines are key for TIM3 function, mediated by ligands like galectin-9 or CEACAM1.
Right. And those ligands, galectin-9 and CEACAM1, had no effect on SMAD2 phosphorylation in the microglia experiments here. It really points to a different mode of action for TIM3 in these cells.
And they also found TIM3 binds less well once SMA2 gets phosphorylated.
Correct. And they narrowed down the binding site on SMAD2 to its MH2 domain, which is known to be involved in protein interactions and recruiting other factors.
Okay, putting it all together, what's the model they proposed?
The model is quite elegant, actually. They propose TIM3 acts like a scaffold. It grabs onto SMAD2 and brings it close to the TGF receptor complex.
Facilitating the phosphorylation.
Exactly. By holding SMAD2 near the kinases TGFBR1 and TGFBR2, TIM3 essentially makes the phosphorylation step more efficient. Then, once SNA2 is phosphorylated, it gets released from TIM3.
And heads off to the nucleus to activate TGF target genes. So TIM3 enhances TGF signaling at the receptor level.
That's the idea. It boosts the signal needed to maintain that homeostatic state.
Okay, that makes sense mechanistically. Now, back to the Alzheimer's model, the 5xFAD mice. They knocked out HAFCR2, specifically in the microglia of these mice. What happened in vivo?
The results were pretty striking. Behaviorally, the mice lacking microglial TIM3 performed better on memory tasks, the Y-maze test for spatial and working memory.
So cognition improved. What about things like anxiety? AD models sometimes show changes there.
They saw something there too. Typically, 5xFAD mice seem less anxious in tests like the open field. But the knockout mice, the ones without TIM3, showed a more normal level of anxiety-like behavior at 10 months, a kind of normalization.
And the plaques here, they were reduced.
Yes, significantly. Looking at brain slices at 6 months, they saw less avatai plaque load, both the filamentous kind and the dense core plaques. And alongside that, less area covered by CLE-C7A positive microglia, that MGND marker.
But you mentioned timing matters. It wasn't seen earlier.
Right. At 5 months, they didn't see a significant difference in plaque load. So it suggests TIM3's impact might become more critical as the pathology progresses.
And they checked AB production to make sure the reduction wasn't just because less was being made.
Good question. They checked the genes involved in making AB, and those weren't changed. So the strong implication is that the reduced plaque load is due to better clearance by the microglia lacking TIM3, not less production.
Better clearance. Okay. That leads nicely into the transcriptomics. They did single nucleus RNA-seq, right, to see what genes were changing inside individual microglia.
Exactly. snRNA-seq gives you that high resolution. They looked at microglia from four groups, normal mice lacking TIM3, 5xFAD mice, and 5xFAD mice lacking TIM3.
And what did they find in the AD mice lacking TIM3? Big shifts.
Definitely shifts. They identified different clusters or states of microglia. In the 5xFAD mice lacking TIM3, the proportions of these clusters change.
How so? what pathways were affected?
Across most clusters in those mice, there was an upregulation of homeostatic genes, the ones usually suppressed in AD, and a downregulation of genes involved in antigen presentation and interferon responses. It looked like a shift away from inflammation.
And towards phagocytosis.
Yes. They saw a specific upregulation of genes in phagosomal and lysosomal pathways. It fits the idea of enhanced clearance.
Now, what about those MGND subtypes? Did they see differences there?
They did. Within the broader MGND population found in the 5xFAD mice, they could distinguish two subpopulations, which they called P1 and P2.
P1 and P2, what's the difference?
The P2 subpopulation expressed higher levels of genes like TREM2, AXL, CD9, CD68, and also markers like IL-10RA and NRP1. This signature suggests a profile that's more geared towards phagocytosis, but also potentially anti-inflammatory.
And in the mice lacking TIM3?
They had a higher proportion of these P2 microglia.
Ah, so losing TIM3 seems to push microglia towards this potentially more beneficial P2 state within the disease context.
It appears so. They even found an inverse correlation within the MGND cells. The higher the TIM3 expression, the lower the expression of those P2 markers. It reinforces the idea that TIM3 might suppress this P2 phenotype.
So the overall picture from the transcriptomics is that removing TIM3 doesn't just boost phagocytosis. It seems to do while also dampening down some of the pro-inflammatory signaling, a decoupling.
That seems to be the key insight. It decouples phagocytosis from the potentially harmful chronic inflammation often seen in AD microglia. It reprograms them towards a more resolved, cleanup-focused state.
And just quickly, they also confirmed TIM3's role in normal homeostasis without AD pathology.
Yes, they showed that even in healthy mice, losing TIM3 pushes microglia out of their normal homeostatic state, making them look a bit more reactive, similar again to losing TGF signaling. It really ties TIM3 closely to that TGF pathway for maintaining the baseline state.
Okay, fascinating study. Let's try to boil it down. What are the, say, three major takeaways for our listeners?
All right, first, TIM3 isn't just for T cells. In microglia, it actively participates in the TGF pathway, physically binding SMA2 and the receptor to enhance signaling and maintain homeostasis.
Okay, number one, TIM3 boosts TGF signaling for homeostasis.
Second, in the context of Alzheimer's pathology, specifically in the 5xFAD mouse model, removing TIM3 from microglia reduced app plaque load and actually improved cognitive function. So TIM3 appears detrimental in AD.
Number two, deleting TIM3 in AD mice reduced plaques and improved cognition.
And third, the transcriptomics revealed how. TIM3 deficiency seems to reprogram microglia, particularly the disease-associated ones, pushing them towards a state, that P2 phenotype, with enhanced phagocytosis but reduced pro-inflammatory gene expression. It uncouples cleanup from inflammation.
Number three, TIM3 deletion shifts microglia to a more phagocytic, less inflammatory state in AD mice. Okay, great summary. So, to leave our listeners with something to chew on.
Right, the provocative thought.
Given these really interesting findings in mice, what does this mean for potentially targeting TIM3 in humans with Alzheimer's? It sounds promising, but what are the hurdles? We're talking about the complex human brain, and TIM3 does other things in other immune cells. How easy or difficult might translating this be?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? The potential is there, but the complexities of targeting immune pathways in the human CNS, considering potential off-target effects, it's definitely something to think about carefully.
Food for thought, indeed. Thanks for breaking that down.
My pleasure.